breaking barriers. We're going to take the next several weeks. I don't know how long it's going to go, but that's okay. We'll just go till the Lord says it's time to move on to something else. Amen. But I kept seeing, because you know, this is still the first part of this new year. And a lot of us have experienced, I'm going to give you the definition of a barrier here in just a minute here, but you know, barrier means limitations. And when the Lord began to talk to us about this new year and going into this new year, you know, all you know in your life is what you've experienced from today backwards. That's all you've known, whether that's bad experiences, good experiences, whatever, you know, the case may be. And a lot of times we don't realize that we actually, people sometimes impose limitations on us. We put limitations on ourselves, you know. And the best definition, example that I heard of this one time was this, that, you know, and I was reading this from Charles Neiman. He's a pastor in El Paso, Texas, you know. You know, out where there's no trees and grass and everything else. You know? Just kidding. But I've been there, and I'm glad I left there. That's all I can tell you, okay? But it's out there in West Texas, you know. And he has a church out there, and he said he observed personally, firsthand he observed this. He went to one of these, not a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey circus, but a little town circus type thing, you know, and it was more local folks. And he went to this circus years ago when he was a child, and he said there was a guy there that had a bunch of fleas inside of a jar. You know, I mean, thousands of fleas, you know, fleas are, you know, and they like to jump. A flea can jump about that high, you know, and you figure out how small that body, that flea is, relatively speaking, how far that flea can jump, you know. And so he had a lid on that jar of that mason, big mason jar full of fleas, you know, and everybody's standing there watching. He goes, look, I'm going to take the jar off. Everybody start backing up. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to open this jar of lice and see how many people stay around. You know what I'm saying? And so everybody's standing there looking. They kind of backed up, and he took the jar off. He said, not one flea jumped out of that jar. Not one flea. And he took the jar, moved it around, you know, set it back down, shook it a little bit. Every one of them stayed in the jar. And everybody's like scratching their heads like, well, how did this happen? What's the deal with these fleas, you know? And come to find out that when he got these fleas, they call it a flea circus, you know. I mean, it's not every day you hear something like that. But they put these fleas, he put all these fleas, and he got them, and they, you know, of course, they produced and so forth and grew and what have you. Big families inside this little thing here inside this jar. Thousands of them, you know. Not one of them jumped out. Here's how he trained them to do that. He put them in this jar, you know, and made so they could breathe and all this kind of stuff, little holes, you know. And, you know, how many of you, when you were kids, you know, used to get a magnifying glass and fry bugs with that? Am I the only one? You know, say, that's animal cruelty. I understand. But you know how kids are. Almost catch the house on fire with pull that thing out. You start smoking and everything, you know. Things my mother never knew. Okay. 52 years later, she finds out. Yeah. Now, what happened was these fleas, getting back to this flea, you thought I lost my train of thought, but these fleas would not, they wouldn't jump out of the jar. So what happened was when he initially put them in there, their nature is to jump, okay? And they're trying to find some fuzzy animal somewhere, you know what I mean? So they can thrive off of that. And but every time that little flea would jump up, he would hit his little head on the top of that lid. And, you know, fleas have a brain, but it's not very big, amen? But they got a brain, you know. You might have to look under a microscope to see it. But every time they jump up, wham, smack, they hit their heads, and it's like, ouch. And so they adjusted, because of the pain that was involved, they adjusted their jump. They limited their jump so that they would not be in pain anymore. They would only jump about this far. Okay? You'll see the picture here. And so he would take the lid off, screw off the lid, and they would still stay in the jar. They're like, what's the deal with this? Well, they're so ingrained, their mind is so ingrained that I'm only going to jump this far, and they don't even realize the lid has been unscrewed. They can jump out. They can go beyond that jar. But no, now it's no longer the lid that's keeping them in the jar. It's their thinking. Are you with me? Now, when Jesus came to this earth, he took the lid off, unscrewed it, and said, jump as high as you want to go. Go as far as you want to go. But sometimes if we don't know that, if our mind has been unrenewed to the things of this world, to the things of God, and we're thinking like the world thinks, limitations, you know, people pushing you down, that kind of a thing, then we'll never reach our full potential what God has called us to do. But how many of you know God wants us to reach our full potential? And a barrier is this, and I'm going to have Brother Don come up and grab the mic and get ready to share something here. And I'll explain this in a minute. A barrier, here's the Webster's Dictionary definition of a barrier. Okay, let me give this to you. Anything built or serving as a bar passage, as a railing, fence, or like the people. Number two, anything that restrains or obstructs progress. I like that. Anything that restrains or obstructs progress. And number three, a limit or boundary of any kind. So what is a barrier? It's a limit, it's a boundary, it's a restraint. Amen? And a boundary sometimes can be a good thing. You know, there's boundaries in countries. Those are good things, right? All right? Especially in America, right? That's a big issue nowadays in politics. But there are people that have broken barriers in their life. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning to kind of show you some things about where we're going to go, where you're going to go as a person. And I couldn't help but stop and think about this. Anybody hear of a guy named Chuck Yeager before? All right, Chuck Yeager was the one that broke the speed of sound, okay? And Brother Don just happens to be a pilot for many, many years, you know, and he, lest I screw it up and talk about it, I thought, I'm going to call him up here and just briefly explain to you what breaking the sound barrier is, and then we're going to go into a little video clip of an actual plane that was breaking the sound barrier, okay? Brother Don.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. Glory, man, I tell you, you work in the aircraft industry for 40-plus years, and you get to talk about it in church, too. What a deal. I appreciate the opportunity. I thought, how could I tie breaking the sound barrier into breaking barriers, as Pastor just mentioned? So I, to follow up on your definitions, too, I looked at them, and it's something that holds apart or separates. Okay, something that obstructs or impedes, an impediment. A barrier keeps something from passing through, and a barrier is also something that may cause a difficulty. So just a few definitions to keep in mind through this series. And a barrier can be natural, such as air. Okay, a barrier can be man-made, like iron, and a barrier can be mental, spiritual, right? And that's going to be a big one I bet you get into. I'm not going to talk about iron that much, right? So sound travels, do you know that it travels faster in liquids than in air? And some of you remember your science days, right? And it travels 4.3 times faster in water and nearly 15 times faster in iron. Okay? There's going to be a test at the end of the service today, too, by the way. Okay. One common example of breaking a barrier would be breaking the sound barrier, which Pastor alluded to, that I'll talk about for half a minute here. I could be here the rest of the day talking about this. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of information that's out there. You can picture a boat going through the water and the water coming off of the bow of the boat and as it streams back. Same with an airplane when it goes through the air. It actually, Jimmy, you might remember this, that as far through testing as far as 20 miles in front of the nose of the airplane, the air is already being affected. Compressibility and things like that. But the air comes off the tip of the nose, off of the tip of the wings, and it goes back. And we could get into sonic booms. Everybody knows what thunder is, right? Lightning, that bolt that goes through the air, and as it goes through, it creates a void behind it, and then when the air comes back together behind it, it collapses, and it causes that thunder. All right? Well, you know, it used to be that an aircraft was required to break the sound barrier, and as Pastor mentioned, Chuck Yeager is the one that did that. What was it, October 15th of 2012, so not that long ago, Felix Baumgartner, remember that name in the news? What'd he do? Jumped out of a balloon, the fool, over 128,000 feet high, okay, and as he fell, he exceeded 833 miles per hour. He broke the speed of sound just by himself. Now, we're talking about barriers, so what did he have on? Spacesuit. That's all he had on, the helmet. barriers, all right? Okay, to get through the speed of sound at sea level, which is where we're at, how many of you know your science, standard day atmospheric conditions, 59 degrees Fahrenheit, 14.7 pounds per square inch around us right now. And to break the speed of sound, you'd have to travel 1 mile in about 5 seconds at sea level. That's right around 760 miles per hour. Okay, at 33,000 feet where most commercial aircraft fly, the ambient air temperature up there is a constant minus 69 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. That's year-round. And the air, when you're traveling in a commercial airliner, is over 500 miles an hour. So talking about barriers, Pastor and Lynn, everybody, the next time you get on one of these commercial airplanes and you're traveling at altitude and you put your nose against that plastic window that's a quarter inch thick and the sheet metal around you is only the thickness of a dime, think of that as a barrier in this series, because outside, literally outside, less than a quarter inch away, that air is going past you over 500 miles an hour and it's 69 degrees below zero. So you need some kind of protection, right? We need barrier busters is what we need, okay? So let's see, I already hit that. Now, at altitude, we could get into the speed of sound and breaking the sound barrier and all that from the ground versus the air. Up the higher we go, the speed of sound decreases to the point that it's 100 miles per hour slower at like 33,000 feet as compared to at sea level. And then you could go the next step and get into space. And if you've ever followed the spacecraft, they travel at speeds of over 17,000 miles per hour. Less air, less atmosphere, temperatures, it's all related. So barriers are being broken there. Amen? So how about us? Do we have any barriers? Mark 7, an individual had a speech impediment and hearing problem. And then in verse 35, it says his tongue was loosed, right? He spoke again. Remember I said that a barrier, and Pastor did as well, that can be something that causes difficulty or something that obstructs or impedes. So I think healing can be defined as a barrier breaker, right? Okay, so in what areas of your life and at what speed will you be breaking barriers after today and after this series? Right? Yeah. So fasten your seatbelts and let's gain some knowledge from Pastor about breaking barriers.
Praise God. Thank you, Don. How many retained all that? Okay. Praise God. I want to just show just a real short video clip. We won't all play the whole thing here. Josh, go ahead. I want to show you. You're going to hear this sonic boom here. Okay, when this guy breaks the speed of sound. Lord, you get the gist there, amen. Praise God. You see that like cloud there? That's the what is it? The atmosphere pressing the moisturizer like that. Praise God. Well, I thought of when I was thinking about breaking barriers. You know, 100 years ago, who would have ever thought that man could even fly, let alone breaking these kind of barriers? And I got to thinking about modern day barrier breakers that in our time, you know, let's say in the last 100 years, for example, and I just name a few of these and you'll know right away who they are. How about Henry Ford? Right? All the cars that you're driving today are a result of that man, amen, breaking a barrier. And people laughed at him. Amen? Do you know the Wright brothers? When you think of Orville and what's the other guy's name? Wilbur Wright, okay? And we live next to a major airport right here. You know, these were barrier breakers. You might say they were dreamers, okay? They called Joseph a dreamer too. Hey, where's the dreamer? But look at what happened to him, amen? It's okay to dream heaven's thoughts, amen? You know what's interesting about the Wright brothers and a true story? Their father would minister in a church. I don't know if he was an actual minister, but he would minister. And he was actually in a church service, and both of his kids were out behind the church experimenting with flight and all this kind of stuff, you know, putting what they called an airplane together, try to make it fly. And while they're doing that, his own father is inside the church, said, look, if God wanted man to fly, he would have made wings. Okay? Here you got the preacher inside preaching against what people have to dream. But aren't you glad that they didn't listen to that preacher? What about Thomas Edison? Over 1,000 inventions that we enjoy today. How about George Washington Carver that invented over 300 uses of peanut butter? I know, but one, that's it. I mean, just eat the doggone stuff, amen? But over 300 uses. How about Alexander Graham Bell with our phone system? What about Abraham Lincoln, barriers that he broke? All these guys broke barriers. How about Neil Armstrong? Okay? Our kids used to go to a school called Neil Armstrong in Bethel Park. Amen? And he's the first guy to walk on the moon. What a barrier breaker. It's kind of funny because I know even back in the day, you know, Lynn's grandmother's in heaven now, and she definitely believes now, but she didn't believe that anybody landed on the moon. So there's no way that happened, but it actually happened. I remember in 1969 when I was in my living room on a Sunday afternoon, that day, and I remember watching on that little black and white screen with all the fuzzies on it and everything, you know? It wasn't a real clear screen. How many of you remember that day? Remember that, Jackie? The guy walking on the moon, you know, the cheese ball, you know what I'm saying? And these are barrier breakers. How about Bill Gates? What a barrier breaker. You know what's interesting? That all these people that broke these barriers affected more than just themselves. It's impacting and it has impacted and will impact the entire globe the way we know it. And most of these people that I'm talking about here, in fact, all of them came out of USA, where there's a lot of light in the gospel, creativity. How about Steve Jobs? How has he changed? The thing I'm using right now, this iPad right now, iPhone, all the I stuff. Sounds kind of selfish, but you know. Won't stop me from using it, amen? And how it's changed the world. Okay, let's move into this area of athletics. How about Tiger Woods? What's he, who's this guy? Okay, he has broken some barriers. Amen, let's just talk about his golf game. Forget about the other thing. How about Wayne Gretzky? How about Michael Jordan? How about Baby Ruth? Not the chocolate bar, okay. But these are just a few people that I thought of here that have impacted, you know, the world and the sports realm and all these kinds of things. And what is one thing that's, see, we're talking about breaking barriers in your life. Because all of us, unless this is not a bad confession, this is not a negative confession, but all of us have had certain barriers in our life. And the Lord is trying to get us to lift those barriers in our thinking so that we can move forward into the things that God has for us. Now, you might be thinking, well, brother, If you knew my age, you know, and I don't know if I'm in any condition to break any barriers. Let me tell you something. Some of the people in the Bible were in their 80s when they broke their first barrier. Yeah, that's right. What about Abraham and Sarah? 100 years old. Yeah. So you're never too old to start breaking some barriers. Are you with me? Now, what is the one thing that is common with all of these people that I mentioned? All that, you know, Neil Armstrong, all these athletes and everything. And that is this. Their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. And notice I said beyond their present circumstances. Because you may be in a circumstance right now that's not very pretty. Okay? Now that's not a word of knowledge. That's just the way it is in life. But you may not, and we've all been there. We've all done that. We may be in circumstances right now that we're not real happy with. There's things that are going on in our lives. And sometimes that can try to impose a barrier upon us. But you know what? Your future, and I'll say this by the Spirit of God, your future is greater than your past.
Amen. That's right.
Now, that's just not a cute little saying that I just made up here. I felt it in my spirit. Your future is greater than your past, because when you're looking to God, and we'll see this in a minute, He's able to take you from a place of nothingness to a life of abundance. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking in every area of your life. Thank you, Father. It's interesting because in the Bible, you know, when God would appear to certain individuals, you know, they always had excuses why they were not qualified. When the Lord appeared to Moses, you know, how many of y'all remember the Ten Commandments? Okay. We like to watch the Ten Commandments around right before Easter. You know, it's like a family tradition, you know. We could almost quote it verbatim. You know, when at the burning bush, you hear that voice. That's actually Charlton Heston's voice. Moses. Remember that? That's Charlton Heston. He's talking to himself. But you know, Moses, if you're reading the Bible, you'll find out that he had every excuse in the world why, like, God chose the wrong person. He said, I'm not qualified. I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. I have a speech impediment. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, and but God didn't say, you know, I'm sorry, but I do have the wrong person. All right? And you look at Gideon, for example. He said, I'm from the poorest family in Manasseh. I came from the other side of the tracks, in other words, we would say. And, you know, in other words, we've had it rough. Why would you choose me? And the list goes on and on and on about people that God would call to do certain things. And the reason that He does is because we know that within ourselves we can't do it. Now, that's a good thing, because it makes us realize that when something does happen, who gets the credit and who gets the glory? Right? See, that takes all pride out of the way, because, you know, no flesh will glory in His presence. But let me tell you something. God's power on our flesh, which is the anointing, can cause us to do things that we could never do before. Hallelujah. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But let's talk about some, just mention some names about barrier breakers in the Bible. After all, that's what we're talking about here. But I wanted to start out with some natural people that you know of, modern day people, that broke some barriers that impacted the human race. Amen? And some of you in this room are going to break some barriers. Not, in fact, a lot of you, all of you, are going to begin to start breaking some barriers. In this series, when you begin to see, we're going to talk about different barriers, what they are, how to overcome these barriers in your life. Some people's barrier may be a sickness or a disease that the doctor said there's no cure for this. Now, we've had people in our church in the last few years that have been cured of incurable diseases. They broke some barriers. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Brother Curtis?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Sister Marty, isn't that right? Broke some barriers. When the doctor's report says, this doesn't look very good. Well, those are barriers that the enemy will try to impose upon us, you see. But here's a couple of people I'll just mention here that in the Bible that broke some barriers. How about Noah? Amen? First boat. He's building a boat. What is a boat? It never rained up to this point. They thought he was crazy. Thought he was nuts. But think about all that time he's pounding it and putting the nails in, whatever he had to do to put that ark together, you know. But the time came when he was the only safe person on the earth, him and his family, the seven of them. How many of you know the animals were thankful? At least some of them were. Here's another thing. Think about that. He didn't go out and chase the animals into the ark. He didn't get out with a big old lasso and try to, you know, round them up, and the animals are taken off every which way. The Bible says God brought the animals two by two into the ark. Man, if God could bring animals into an ark, He can bring people into a church. Just a thought, amen? Animals got more sense sometimes, amen? How about, let's see here, Moses, we talked about him. He broke some barriers, didn't he? How about splitting the Red Sea? Now, God did it, but He used Moses to do it. And He all used that little stick that He had, that little stick about this high, the little staff. That's all that Moses had. I just got a staff. God says, I'll use that. Amen? What about the the people in the desert, when Jesus was preaching, they brought a little boy's lunch to him. He said, I'll use that. He didn't laugh at it and say, oh, that's a joke. Jesus said, bring it to me. So Jesus and God will take what little we do have and put his super on our natural and cause it to take place. Are you with me? That really excites me. How about Elijah calling fire down from heaven? I mean, that's amazing right there. Lightning right out of consume a sacrifice. Outran the king's chariot. How about Elisha, who did twice as many miracles? He had a double portion of the anointing. How about David, who could run through a troop and leap over a wall and kill 1,000 Philistines? Amen? One man killing Goliath, a giant of almost 12 feet tall. His spearhead was 40 pounds. David broke some barriers. He broke some heads too, by the way. How about Samson? How about the 12 disciples? How about Jesus? Well, these are just a few people. I could list a lot more than this, of course, but these were all people from the Old Testament through the New Testament, the early church, that broke barriers. Why? Because their God was big. I want to ask you a question here. This is a Q&A time right now, okay? This is a yes and no question. Can you become a barrier breaker?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to show you how this morning, okay, how you can become a barrier breaker in your life. And I call this the God factor. If you go over Daniel chapter 11, if you would, Daniel 11 verse 32. Oh, I love this. Daniel 11:32 says this, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But here's what I want you to see right here. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Notice the last phrase of that verse right there. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What is an exploit? An exploit is something that's rare. An exploit is something that's not the norm. You know, we talk about the exception, the norm, that type of thing. An exploit is a supernatural feat. Not F-E-E-T. All right? The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, I want to ask you another question here this morning. How many of you here know God? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, you say, well, how is that possible? I always make this illustration. I've done this. In fact, we just recently were asked to have part in a Catholic funeral. Okay? And, you know, this church was massive. I mean, but there was 100-some people there or something like that. But the Lord has always directed me in this area when it comes to, you know, using an opportunity like this, because there's a lot of unsaved people there and you can present the gospel to them. And I asked this question here in this massive Catholic church just a couple of weeks ago. I talked, first of all, about the gentleman that went home to be with the Lord, you know. And I said, how many of you here, now this is not your typical way that a minister would do a funeral, but that's okay. I threw the typical out years ago. I just got to be me. I got to be who God's made me to be. Amen. And I said, how many of you here know who the president is, regardless of your political persuasion? Of course, everybody's like this, you know. And people are looking at me like, what in the world is he saying at a funeral home? And I said, how many of you know who the president is? Everybody raised their hand. And then I said, well, how many of you know him personally? And I said, again, regardless of your political persuasion. Okay. And nobody raised their hand. And I said, you know, it's just like this. A lot of people know about God. They've heard about God. They know of who he is. But it's another thing to know him personally. Personally. And I said, how is that possible? And I said, it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am, in John's gospel, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. And I said, all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. And I prayed, and every one of those people in that place prayed. Now, whether it hit or not, I don't know. That's up to the Lord. But I had them all pray. And, of course, you always have a few people that will come up and say, wow, that was really different, man. But you know what? If one person got saved, if one person received the Lord, amen. I did that same thing a number of years ago, and I think one of our relatives, I think it was my grandfather's funeral. You know, in fact, at my own father's funeral a couple months ago, did the same thing, right, Mom? Mm-hmm. And there are people that came to Christ as a result of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we had this one guy came up to me, and he was actually living in a homosexual lifestyle. Okay? Now, how many know God loves those people? Mm-hmm. And this guy came up to me, you know, and he had tears in his eyes, and he shook my hand. He says, I want you to know. He said, that changed my life. I'd never heard anything like that before. And that man passed away. I think he had AIDS. But you know what? I believe he's in heaven. He's in heaven. See, it's not hard. God's not trying to keep people out of heaven. He's trying to get them in. And all you have to do is say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that. That's all it takes. And it connects. You connect. Okay? So, again, this scripture says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, I don't know about you, but I know God better today than I did a month ago and last year. We can get to know God better. And the more that we get acquainted with Him, you say, well, how do I get acquainted with God? How do I get to... You read His Word. You come to church. You pray. And you fellowship with other believers. That's what church is all about. You fellowship with other believers so that you can grow strong. Are you with me? See, God doesn't want you isolated. There's a lot of Christians that, through the years that I've met, that isolate themselves from the body, isolate themselves from the church, where God wants, that's where He wants you to grow. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this. You know, I remember I was watching the Discovery Channel one time. How many of you know there's some cool things on there? And I'll never forget, I saw this one show, and it was about lions. It was from Africa, of course, you know, and it's about lions and these water buffaloes, you know, those big, big, massive water buffaloes, you know, there's thousands of them, you know, just like the Lion King, that movie. How many saw that movie before? I mean, this is a real deal in Africa, you know, and this was a show about lions and so forth, and it was really interesting. It was like an hour show, and I was watching it, and they were showing these, how that they hunt, how they eat and so forth, and they're predators, animals of predity. And so there was these water buffaloes, and there was this young little water buffalo that looked like it was just barely born. And the way the camera was, it showed this little water buffalo, and he saw some green grass over in this area over here, you know. But the rest of thousands of water buffaloes were over here in this area of this field eating. But back over in here, they showed three lions crouched down, just waiting for the opportunity. And this little water buffalo probably thought, what am I doing trying to fight for all this grass? I can walk. There's no one over here. I can go over here. And there's all this green pasture. There's no one else there. So he goes trotting. I saw this on film. He goes trotting over there. He starts, puts his head down. Before you know it, three lions are pouncing on that dude. And before you know it, those lions are sitting there licking their chops, man. So they just had a nice dinner. How many of you know that? Everybody say, aw. Okay. Well, what's the moral of the story here? If that water buffalo would have stayed with the rest of the pack, which is the church, okay, there would have been safety and protection there. And he still would have eaten. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we get to know God by His Word, by prayer, by fellowship, and coming to church like this. That's why the enemy tries so hard to keep people out of these things. All right? But the good thing is we can just move forward in this. Amen? And begin to grow. Lost my place here. Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So how can you be a barrier breaker? Now, we define what a barrier is. It's a limitation imposed upon you. And the good thing is, you can break those barriers. Amen. Who was the lady that chose not to sit in the certain section of the bus? Is that Rosa Parker. She was a barrier breaker. Amen. Martin Luther King Jr. was a barrier breaker. Amen. These men changed the world that we know in. Amen. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 19 real quick here, and we'll wrap this up here this morning. But in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 26, I want you to say this with me. I qualify to be a barrier breaker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice in Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's read that last part. But with God all things are possible. One more time. But with God all things are possible. I call this the God factor. There have been times in my life, and I know my life better than anybody else, but there have been times where the test, the trial comes on, you know, the situation. And I don't know if you've ever been there before. I sure have. But the test of life, there's things that will come against you. You know, the enemy brings these things. It's not God. And sometimes in the heat of the battle, sometimes we can make wrong choices, which we all have. We've made wrong decisions, wrong choices. But the redeeming factor is that God can put you back on the right path. But I always, always had to remind myself, no matter how hard the situation was, whether it was a physical infirmity, a financial infirmity, a lack, or whatever the case is, persecution, you know, that you have to factor in God. Just like in mathematics, you have to do certain things for things to work. You know, 2 times 0 is still 0. 3,000 times 0 is still 0. 5 million times 0 is still 0. And there's certain factors that we have to factor in order to get God mathematics, amen? And that is that consider the God factor in every situation that you're facing. And people say, well, you know, the economy that we live in, the job market, this thing, that thing. And what I'm hearing is this, they're not factoring in God in the situation. See, the difference between us and the world is that you and I have a covenant with God. When David fought Goliath, it wasn't the fact that David had 20-inch biceps. That wasn't it at all. In fact, Samson, you know, pictures, they showed Samson like this almost like the Incredible Hulk, Sam, big arms like this. He was just like any man. Amen? He was as common as the guy down the street. Nothing spectacular about him, but what was the difference? The anointing, the God factor. Say the God factor. You're not going to forget this. It's the God factor in your life that's going to make the difference. And it wasn't, David said, who is, remember all the Israelites here? See, Goliath is a type of the devil. He was almost 12 feet tall. And he came out for 40 days and he began to curse the children of Israel and the God of Israel. And every time he would open his mouth, rah, you know, the people would tremble and shake. God's people would tremble and shake. Oh, Ethel, I'm coming home. You know, or Esther, whatever it was. Was it Esther? Elizabeth. Okay. I knew it was a need. They'd start. Sanford and Son, right? Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it just came to my mind. I don't know why, but it did. What was I saying? Goliath was almost 12 feet tall. And here you got Goliath coming out for 40 days and saying to the Israelites, oh, this is what I'm going to do, you know, and defying the God of Israel. But David came off the battlefield. He was, you know, taking care of his father's sheep. Remember that? And he came one day and he heard he was bringing bread and cheese to his brothers. You know, delivering pizza. That's what it says, bread and cheese. And he happens to hear Goliath talking one day, and he stood there and he says, "Who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" That's kind of a strange thing to say, you know, but what it meant was he doesn't have a covenant with God. Amen? David knew his covenant. That's why he could take on the lion and the bear and not whip, but whoop. That's even worse. In the wilderness, the lion and the bear came after his sheep, one sheep, and he went after them in the anointing of God and took down the lion, took down the bear. And he said, this Philistine will be just like one of them. And guess what? He did that. He did that. Why could he do that? Did you know any of the Israelites could have done the same thing? Why didn't they? Because they were not mindful of their covenant. They had a covenant with God. Any one of those Israelites could have gone out there and taken out Goliath by the power of God. Praise God. So what was the difference? The God factor. David, you think about, here's one Israelite out of thousands of Israelites that only understood his covenant. So it's not always the majority that are right. Sometimes you'll feel like the minority. You'll feel like the minority in your family sometimes. Okay? But that's okay. You're never alone. You're never alone. When you have God with you, you're never alone. Never. Never. Are you with me? I don't care how dark it seems, how bleak it looks. I don't care how cloudy it looks out there. There's still sunshine up there. Just take an airplane and go up and you'll go above the clouds. There's the sun. Okay? You have a covenant with Almighty God. And that's how David took out Goliath. And what was really interesting about that was this, is that once David did that, he said it first before he did. He said, "I'm going to take your head off today. I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air."
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes faith is a little bit cocky. And it should be. Say, "I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. I'm going to do this." And that's exactly what happened. His faith talked. And you know what the Bible says? That when it came time for their confrontation, the Bible says David ran towards Goliath. He didn't go... You know, it's like the birds at the beach, you know, they'll go up there and they'll start pecking around, get some food, you know. And then here comes a little wave and they run backwards, you know. Then it goes back again, they go up there and get some more food. Here comes the wave again, you know. See, David wasn't like that. I make a bad bird, right? It's like big bird, right? But David ran towards his enemy. I believe that he did that because there was no hesitation. He said, "I'm getting this over with. That's good right now." And he ran towards him. And one little rock. And they tell us that Goliath had armor from head to toe. But when he threw his helmet back, the only exposed place was right here. Because he was laughing. This little teenager, 17-year-old teenager. And he laughed to scorn. But David said, "That's all I need, that spot right there." And God took that rock right there and just put his force behind that. And when it hit his head, that's it. Went over and cut the guy's head off. And he taught us how to get ahead in life. Amen? Slew that sucker. Say the God factor.
God factor.
Now, Jesus said in Matthew 9:26, he said there, "With God, all things are possible." So we have to say the same thing. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you go there real quick, because we're almost out of time here. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 23, say the God factor. Okay, I want to drill that in you, because, you know, when I was in grade school, we learned the times tables by repetition. 2 times 2 is 4. 5 times 5 is 25. You know. I remember bringing those little things home, those little cards home. I still remember it. Couldn't stand it, but I had to do it. You know? But you never forget it. You get that stuff down on the inside of you. But how did you learn that? By repetition. You over and over and over again. And so I say that to say this, that when you begin to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, with God, all things are possible to me. You keep rehearsing that over and over again. You know, you're like in a dress rehearsal mode. You're preparing, okay? So that when the real deal comes, you've got some good ammunition behind you because it's the God factor. So the Bible says it like this. It says in Ephesians, it says that, you know, be strong in what? The Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in, not in yourself. It says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it says put on God's clothes. Put on God's armor. So it's really not us per se that's defeating the things of this life. It's God in us, through us, that's defeating the giants in this life. Okay? God never said go out there and try the best you can. Do it on your own. He never said that. Matter of fact, every time I get up here, every single time I get up here, whether I'm ministering to one person or 50 people or 500 people or 1,000 people, I've ministered to all group sizes, you know. And I remind myself all the time, Father, I can't do this without you. Because I'm the one that failed speech class in junior high school. Took an F. Not proud of it, but I couldn't talk in front of people. So I remind myself all the time, Lord, I cannot do this without you. And I refuse to do it without you. I will not get up here in my own strength and have the Keith hour. Because if it's the Keith hour, then I open the doors, ushers, and have everybody just leave right now. Because what Keith has to offer is nothing. But it's God through me that will bless you. And that's why we need to see ourselves. It's not within ourselves, not by our own power, not by our own might, but it's the power of Christ in us that will help us do the impossible. There have been many times, I was saying a few minutes ago in my life, where I faced serious barriers in my life that it looked like there was no way out. And my mind was giving me fits. I'm thinking, oh, how is this going to take place? How is this going to work out? And I kept hearing in my heart, Lord would just say, just trust me. And my mind is like, you know, Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Remember that? Our minds are like, well, I hear you saying that, but how's this going to work out? How's this going to pan out? Folks, listen, it is not your job to try to figure out how God is going to do something. That's his job. And we make a poor God. We're not qualified to do God's job. But our job and our responsibility is to trust him. Yeah. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? With all of our hearts. And do not lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our path. Mm-hmm. And now I can look back, you know, because you can look back and see how the Lord worked these things out. But at the time, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work out. You know what I'm saying? How many of you had a pity party before? Am I the only one? Oh, man. You know. Man, the only people that show up to a pity party is the devil and demon spirits. Man, they just discouragement. They just want to, well, let's not talk about that. It's not fun. Okay? But let me just say this. When God comes on the scene and you allow him to do some things, and I'm telling you, if you're new to this even today, you can start putting this stuff to work right now. And you will start seeing, you'll see this week even, you will see the God factor change, alter, rearrange even minds of people that have had their minds like cement, thoroughly mixed and well set, that didn't want to change, and all of a sudden there's a change in them. Yeah. A change of heart, a change of mind. Why? Because the God factor is working on the inside of it. They don't know it, but God knows it. And so I remember in those times of blood, sweat, and tears, you know, so to speak, where you're just barely get your nose above the water to get air. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I sure have. I've been there more times than I'd like to think. But let me tell you something. I can look back and say, here's what God did. Look at what God did. And it's not because I'm anything special. We're all special to God. Do you know Pastors Keith and Lynn are not any more special to God than you are? Do you know God doesn't love us any more than he loves you? He loves all of us with the same intensity and same love. And I assure you that, because that's what the Word of God says. And we have the same God, same covenant, and we can rely upon Him. He is a faithful friend. He sticks closer than a brother, the Bible says. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's nothing fun about a betrayal in life. I don't know if you've ever experienced a betrayal in your life, but let me tell you something. It's painful. It hurts. It feels like your guts are coming out sometimes. But you know, the Bible says we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you're not always understood by other people. That's okay. Jesus wasn't either. Right? You know, just face the fact you're not everybody's going to love you as a believer. But that's okay. Are you with me now? Is that okay? It's okay. It's okay if everybody doesn't totally understand you. What matters is that God understands you and He understands your heart. Okay. There's someone here today that you're facing something right now, presently, right now. And what I'm saying to you is ringing, echoes, ringing big time inside your heart. And if you will consider, now I don't know who this is, but if you will consider what I'm saying this morning, that the God factor, that your present circumstance will turn around this week, in the next 7 days, your situation will turn around. Because you've done what you can do. You've exhausted yourself. You've become frustrated. Can I tell you a little secret? You know, I remember way, way back, you know, and when I was going through a situation, and I was really frustrated. And I don't mean just a little. I was a lot frustrated over a situation. I was like, oh, man, you know. And I'm in the ministry at the time, you know. This is years ago. And in the midst of that mess, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart inside me. Thank God He did. And He said this to me. And at first it convicted me, but again, it brought me to a place of repentance in my thinking. And He said, do you want to know why you're frustrated? Now, I didn't hear it audibly with these ears, but I heard it inside my heart like you hear them too. And the Lord said this, the reason you're frustrated is because you're not leaning on Me or on My grace. I said, okay. See, frustration is a sign. Not like a sign and a wonder, but it's a sign to you that you're trying to do it in your own strength. When we get frustrated, oh, this is so frustrating. You know, anybody been there before? When we're frustrated, it's a sign to us, it's a signal to us to say, you're trying to do that in your own strength. And so I had to back up and then look inside me and say, okay, that's why I'm frustrated then. Because I'm trying to make it work. I'm trying to make it happen. You know. So can anybody identify with this? Like, oh, just frustrated. But you know what? The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says that. Casting all of your cares, worries, anxieties, fears, you cast them on the Lord because He cares for you. Now, God would not tell you to cast your cares on the Lord just as a cute saying and you still suffer the consequences. The reason that God says cast all of your cares upon the Lord is because He cares for you. This, for example, this water right here, this little thing of water here, represents my cares. Okay? This represents my cares. Now, Josh, get ready back there. Okay? Pay attention now, son. And in this bottle right here, all my worries and cares, you know, and it's like, oh, every time I look at it, it's like, yuck, yuck, yuck. And the devil wants you to drink that, more cares every day. But 1 Peter 5:7 says, you're to cast your cares upon God because He cares for you. So if I have the care, God doesn't. You understand that? But if I cast my cares, good catch. If I cast my cares upon the Lord, then I don't have them. I don't have them. God has them. So that means I can walk through the next day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the thought may come to me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How's this bill going to be paid? You don't have enough money to make it through the month. Or whatever. How's that relationship, whatever, going to work out? You know, and you just say out loud, no, devil, I don't have the care. God has it. God has it. He's going to work it out. He has it. And I've had to remind myself many, many times through the years and say, because a thought will come. Thoughts will come to you, and discouraging thoughts will come to your mind and say, oh, what are you going to do? The devil starts singing a duet and a trio. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sounds like the Three Stooges. Did you ever see them do that? Then a quartet. Then a choir. 50,000-piece choir. What are you going to do? Devil, I don't have the care. You have the care. And listen. I say all that to say this. I've seen some of the most horrendous situations turn around in my life like that when I said, oh, you know, I just refuse to take the care of that thing. Man, I'm not going to let God, I'm not going to let the devil, circumstances, rob my peace, rob my joy, because I'm trusting you, Lord. Now, there's a little bit of fight involved in that, but let me tell you, the results are so worth it. They're so worth it. Everybody say the God factor. That is the key. That is the key. Now, next week, what we're going to get into is we're going to talk about identifying your barriers, because you have to identify your barriers first in order to move to that next level, okay? How many of you here, just a real quick show of hands, how many of you in your own life, there's been some barriers you've broken through? Raise your hand. Well, that's a lot of people right there. Amen. Well, get ready. There's a whole lot more coming. Amen. And when you break those barriers, it's not just for your sake. See, I remember the time, and I'll close with this. I remember the time. In fact, I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to take a picture. There's a bench in my front yard. Now, benches, we've had the bench for probably 15 years. There is a barrier in my life called a tumor growth. It was on my left wrist where my watch is right here, size of a golf ball, over 10 years ago. There is no, other than surgery, there was no medical cure for it. You know what I'm saying? And it kept getting larger and larger, you know. Didn't hurt. It was just ugly to look at. Just a big old bump, you know. And it got to the point I couldn't even wear my watch on my left hand, and I'm right-handed, so I would wear long sleeves so that it would cover it up, okay? And this was an obstacle in my life. This was something that didn't belong there. Now, I knew enough at the time that I needed to take some action with this. I needed to do something with this. Make a real long story short, because I don't want to take a lot of time up here, that the Lord instructed me to speak to it and curse it. Not cuss at it, but curse at it. You blankety blank. But curse means to speak negative over. Remember Jesus cursed the fig tree? He spoke words. He says, no man will eat fruit from hereafter. Remember that? And the tree shriveled up from the roots. Okay? Well, I did that because the Lord said, do it. Speak to it. Speak to that mountain. He says, speak to your mountains. And so I remember one day, and I had no goosebumps, no feelings, no anything special feeling attached to that. But I laid my hands on myself, and I said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I curse this growth. I command it to wither and dry, to be gone from my arm in Jesus' name. That was the essence of what I said and prayed, okay? I spoke to it. Opened my eyes, and it's still there. It looked like nothing happened. The next day, woke up, still there. A week went by, still there. 2 weeks went by, still there. No change. But I heard the Holy Ghost say something on the inside of me that continued, you know, what I needed to do, what next step that I needed to take. And I know I did. Once I prayed, that was it. I wasn't supposed to pray over that again. That means I nullified the first time I prayed. In other words, an unbelief. So the Lord said, I want you to just start thanking me and praising me. And yes, even laughing. Laughing. Now, there was nothing funny. There was nothing to laugh at. It wasn't watching no, you know, some flick, you know, that made you laugh or something like that. I wasn't, but by faith, sometimes you have to laugh. So I'd be driving down the road, you know, by myself in the car, you know, and I'd look over and I'd see that thing right there. And I'd said, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed by your stripes. Thank you, Lord, that when I prayed such and such a date, thank you that you healed me. Thank you that you healed me. You know, we're talking about barriers here, okay? Removing barriers. And the whole time I'm doing this, my mind is saying, nothing's going to happen. Your faith isn't strong enough. You don't have word enough. You didn't pray long enough. See how the enemy talks? He might do that for the preacher, but he won't do that for you. No, Jesus said, whosoever. And so a couple of times I just broke out in laughter. And I didn't feel like laughing, but I just looked at it by faith. I said, ha, 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 ha. Now, nobody was around. It was just me and God, okay? Because if somebody saw me doing that, you know, the Bible says if you have faith, have it before God, right? Sometimes we're trying to impress people, and we're like, they think this guy's, you know, elevator doesn't go to the top. In fact, the cable broke. Amen. But the Lord knew what I was doing. I just laughed at it. I said, ha, 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 ha. All right. Well, one day, just this is like a month after I initially prayed. This is in the summertime. I will take a picture of this bench and I will show you. We took a walk with our family around our little neighborhood, you know, and it was getting dark out, you know. And it was the four of us. We came back. Beautiful night. Stars out, moon out, all that kind of stuff. I came back and sat on that bench. And I just... And this bench is only about this wide, so we crammed ourselves on this little bench, you know. And it's not real stable anyway. It moves with you, man. It just, you know, it's just pieces of boards, you know what I mean? So it moves, you know. But I remember just laying there, or sitting on that bench with my family, and underneath my breath, I laid just like this. I cupped my hand over that growth. And I said, Father, I just thank you right now. Thank you that I'm healed by your stripes. Here, but my word says, I just thank you so much. And underneath my hand, I felt something disappear, like a balloon pop almost. Now, I didn't feel anything special. There's no, other than it was gone. And so I'm feeling it. I'm thinking, felt my other hand. It's exactly the same. Just, I mean, instantly just disappeared. Just vanished. Gone. And it was kind of dark. And I said, guys, do you want to see a miracle right now? And so we went into our little tiny foyer there where there's a light under there. And I took our kids in there. I said, do you want to see a miracle? You all remember this? Mm-hmm. I said, here it is right here. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Are you my witness?
She was too young to remember.
Do you remember? Yes. And I remember Josh looking like, wow. You know? Now, I didn't get real excited about it. I mean, I was happy, but what I got excited about was when I initially prayed over it, okay? But that thing vanished, and it's never come back, and it was on that bench that it happened. There's nothing special about that bench, but it was just a point of contact, you know, and it disappeared. Now, that was a barrier. That was an obstacle, okay? And it was growing. It was getting bigger, you know, and it was just, it wasn't supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? But the barrier was removed when I began to praise God. Not when I was praying, when I praised. The walls of Jericho, you remember that? The walls of Jericho only came down when they sang and shouted. 7-8 foot wide walls collapsed around an entire city. There were wide enough walls that you could put two chariots side by side and go around the wall of that city. That's how wide and that's how thick these walls were. Like a fortress is what it was. But the Israelites, God says on the seventh day, amen, shout. The other days they just walked around, didn't say a thing. But on the seventh day, God says, now, on the seventh day, you shout, blow the trumpets, whatever you do, shout, sing, amen. And when they did, the walls, they didn't put their hands on it. They just shouted and sang. God collapsed the walls and captured the city. Amen. But it didn't happen when they were praying. It happened when they were praising. So if you can keep praise in your lips, we'll leave you with this. If you can keep thanksgiving and praise in your lips all the time, you will have a constant open door. Now, if I open that door right now, there's a lot of cold air that will come in here. I'm not going to do that. But when you praise God and you worship God and you thank God every day, no matter what you're facing, you're keeping the door open for God's presence, God's glory, God's angels, and God's manifest power to come in and alter and change those present circumstances. That's why David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and thereof and be glad. At all times, I will bless the Lord. All times. You may not feel like it. Your flesh may say, I don't want to do that today. I want to grumble today. I want to complain today. But let me tell you, when you say, oh, Lord, I just thank you today. Thank you. Do it by faith. Get out of your bed in the morning, you know, saying, oh, what kind of day is this going to be? You just say, no, Lord, I thank you. Thank you today. Just do that. Jump in the shower. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're working things out today. I worship you, Lord. What are you doing? You're keeping the door open for His manifest power, manifest presence to come in, alter, change, rearrange, do whatever He has to do. The devil cannot defeat a praiser.
Amen.
You hear that? The devil cannot defeat a praiser. Pessimistic Christians, that's a contradictory of terms. Pessimistic, negative Christian, that's like light and darkness. While oil and water, they don't mix. God is an optimist because He knows the outcome. It's always good.